ahead and get our Bibles tonight and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And I tell you what, let's do stand. We'll read the first 8 verses. I do plan to go through the whole chapter tonight. And think it'll be good for us. Boy, I've enjoyed being in Ecclesiastes so far. We're finding out something. That if all you have hope is in this life, you are of all men most miserable. Amen. If you put in everything you have to get something out of this world and what this world gives you, you're going to come up short. You're going to come up short not only in eternity, but down here. We are learning that everything under the sun is travail, it's vanity, it's vexation. And I'm glad we're learning that. And I hope by us going through the book of Ecclesiastes on Sunday nights, we'll never be the same again. We'll never look at the world the same again. We'll realize that it's a joke. It cannot give you what you're looking for. Only the right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Brother Steve Dowdy, would you pray for this teaching and preaching tonight? Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Amen. Yes. 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 Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We're going to have 3 sections to this chapter tonight. We're going to have verses 1 through 8. We're going to look at that as a section. And then we'll look at verses 9 through 15 as a section. Then 16 to 22, end of the chapter, be a section. Now, the first section is verses 1 through 8. And I want you to notice about this section that there's positives and negatives in this life under the sun. Hallelujah, one day when we go to live with the Lord Jesus Christ for eternity, after the judgment seat's over and all that stuff, it'll be an eternity of positives. But there's negatives in this life. And you'll see that here. It talks about on this earth, there's seasons. We know that. There's times and there's purposes. We know that different seasons come. That's not just speaking of the actual seasons we have in our weather. But in your life, we go through different seasons, different times, and you have different purposes at different times in your life. And sometimes parts of your life is negative and parts of it's positive, ain't it? But I wouldn't take nothing for the negative times in my life. It's times in the valley when I've grown the most, got the closest to the Lord, felt His presence the most. Hey, everybody enjoys being up on a mountain, don't we? That's fun. That's fun. I enjoy it too, but you don't learn nothing on the mountain. You just rejoice on the mountain. In the valleys, when you're finding the presence of God, you're finding the power of God, and you're seeing that you can endure and through whatever life throws at you with the power and the help of God. But we'll see this list. These lists have spiritual, they have a physical, they have emotional, some of them social, financial meanings to it. So you can apply it as it applies. The birds did release a song in 1965 called Turn, Turn, Turn that uses the words of this passage we're going to read here. And I don't know how much the birds got out of this passage, but I hope we'll get something out of it. Anyway, here we go. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And that's absolutely true. everything under the sun as we live on the earth. And remember, that's the theme of this book. The theme of this book is under the sun. Life that is experienced here on this mud ball that we live on. That's the theme of this. And how a man that was not a pessimist, as some may say, he was a realist. How he looked at it and the reality miserableness of life, if that's all you got to look forward to. Everything under the sun has a season, has a time and a purpose, and he begins to tell us that. He says in verse number 2, a time to be born and a time to die. Amen. All of us in here this year right now, you were born. And if the Lord don't come back, and you're going to die. People live and people die. Now, you need two births. If you only have one birth, you're going to die twice. If you have two births, you only die once. You need to be born again. So you won't experience the second death, as the Bible calls it. You'll be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ forever. But all are born and all are died. There's a time for that. And I know that's a hard time to go through. But it's a time that we all are going to experience at one time or another. And we're going to experience it with our family and our friends. And there's a positive and a negative. You know, positive, they're born. Negative, they die. But I'm going to tell you something. Just like this lady before we had this funeral out here today. Over there at my home church, that lady 91 years old, and that lady had some troubles and had a tough life and been through some hard times. It was sad for her two daughters. It was sad for her brothers. It was sad for that church family. It was sad for many of us that knew her. But I tell you who it wasn't sad for. It wasn't sad for her. The greatest thing that ever happened to her happened when she died the other day. And we need to understand that. Again, it tells us time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. You know what? There's a time to sow and there's a time to reap. There's times of the year when you plant stuff, and then there's times of the year when you pick the stuff. I don't just apply to a garden. It applies to your life and how you live. You better remember that, and I better remember that. And I'll say this before we move on. We always talk about reaping and sowing in a negative way, which I know we should. We need to warn folks. You know, it says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. But hey, man, there's a positive side to reaping and sowing too. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I mean, you know, the more that you sow for the Lord Jesus Christ, the more that you're going to reap. And we need to realize that. And take that to heart. And notice what it says here in verse number 3. There's a time to kill and a time to heal. Now, I know a bunch of do-gooders and liberals don't believe in that, but it's in the Bible. It says there is a time to kill and there is a time to heal. It doesn't say there's a time to murder. Now, listen to me. Understand this. There's a difference between killing and murdering somebody. If you don't believe that, you ain't studied your Bible. I'll show you where it's a difference. If somebody breaks in on me tonight and tries to hurt my wife and do something to her, and I have to kill them, I have to shoot them, I haven't murdered them. But if I go break in on somebody and I shoot them trying to get their stuff, I've murdered them. And when you go in the military and all, murder and killing is two different things. And you see that the way that's mentioned over there in the New Testament, because when it shows up in the Ten Commandments, it says, thou shalt not kill. But Jesus clarifies the thing there, because when he's talking, it says murder. Don't do no murder. Like, see if you can understand this. Murder is killing, but killing is not necessarily murder. You understand what I'm saying? And there's a time for that sometimes, and there's a time to heal. We all need healing from time to time, physical healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing. Notice what it says there. A time to break down and a time to build up. Hey, that could be a building. That could be your body. Listen, you got to break somebody down before you can build them up to get saved. You got to get them down that they're lost, and then they can get saved. You can build them up. What they used to do with us, they called it muscle failure when I went in the boot camp. And what they wanted to do is they wanted to break you completely down and build you up where you had muscles you didn't even know you had. And what had happened in there was a few weeks in the boot camp, you were able to do less push-ups and less sit-ups than you were when you first got in there. And you say, why? Because they just broke you down, man. But that's what they do. Sometimes you folks look at me and you wonder, my goodness, man, why is Brother Dennis talking like that? Why is he so loud? And why is he so mean? And why did he say that? Because before we can get help, we need to realize there's a problem. And before we can get built up, we got to realize we need to be built up. We need to be slammed down where the Lord wants us to, get real level on the ground, get humbled, and then after we see what the disease is, then let's go to the Bible and find the cure. But that's what we have to do, and that's what good preaching is. Good preaching ain't all negative, and good preaching ain't all positive. It's a good mixture of both. But you got to know your loss to be saved. You got to know it. Verse number 4, there's a time to weep and a time to laugh. Sure there is. Sometimes you cry, sometimes you laugh. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance. You know, sometimes it's a time to be sad, and sometimes it's a time to celebrate. Life is filled with positive and negatives. You know what I'm doing here as I go through these tonight, especially you folks that's lived any length of time on the earth, I'm describing your life. I'm describing everybody's life in here. You know what our life is? It's this, up and down. Up and down, one valley, another mountain, another valley, another mountain. That's some of I believe Solomon's disdain for life. Boy, by the time you get on a mountain, you can't never just look forward to it because you know pretty soon you're going to keep walking and right into another valley. That's what life's about. And that's why when you invest all your money and all your time and all your talents and all you've got and all your emotion and all your intellect into this world, you can get some temporary happiness out of it, get some temporary pleasure, but it always you wind up lacking. That's why the drunkard can never get drunk one time. That's why the dope head can never take just enough hit to get high. That's why the person that's going around sleeping around can never just stop with one date. They're looking for somebody to fill that void, some substance to fill that void, some new place to go, somebody to understand, some new doctrine, some new book, some new self-help something. And it's empty. Every diet that comes out is the newest, best, latest, and greatest. One diet will shut down your kidneys and another diet, you might go blind or something. You know, they say, take these diet pills. You'll lose 30 pounds in 2 days, but you may lose your eyesight, your hearing, your smelling, your leg may fall off, you know, whatever. That's that kind of stuff goes on all the time. The best diet I found is stop eating so much and exercise more. As you can tell, I ain't doing it quite like I ought to. Verse number 5. There's a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. Hey, there's a time to throw away some things. There's a time to hoard or collect some stuff. We have some hoarders in my family. And the Knowleses have been known to hoard up some stuff. But sometimes it's time to throw away some things, you know. You know, sometimes you have to quit holding on to something. We just recently, I've had a yellow chair we got. We got from Darby's family, and she's been wanting me to get rid of it for a while, and the things actually tore up, and I didn't want to get rid of it. And I've kept it there in the corner. I love sitting on that chair, and I finally agreed that we were going to get rid of it. And the thing is special to me because when I first met Darby and went to her house, they had that thing sitting out there, whatever that is in their house, that foyer-looking thing where you come in the door and hang up your clothes, you hang up your hat and your coat and everything. And it just reminded me a lot of when we got together. It reminded me a lot of her daddy. I sure miss her dad a lot. And me and him, he was like a father to me, more than a father-in-law. I didn't want to get rid of it. And I still don't want to get rid of it. But it's time. Time to get rid of it. Time to go on. That yellow chair don't mean anything. When I see him, that's what it means something. Sometimes you have to throw things out. You just have to go on. And it's hard sometimes. It says there's a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. That could be an emotional thing, a hug, a time to hug, a time not to hug. It could be a sexual thing or showing affection or what. But there's an appropriate time to hug and there's an appropriate time not to. There's time. There's a time to get and a time to lose. Let me tell you something. In life, everybody in this life, you're going to win some and you're going to lose some. And everybody talks, you know, I personally believe what you do with the losses is far more important than the wins. I personally believe that what's going to make you a good Christian ain't your wins. What you do with the losses. I think one of the main keys to the Christian life, when you do something with God, is what you do when you fall. The Bible says that the just man falleth seven times. Yet what does he do, church? You remember what the verse says? He rises again. That, listen, that Bible didn't say the just man was a fellow that didn't sin. There ain't nobody like that. The just man, he will fall. He will mess up. He will say things he shouldn't. He will do things he shouldn't. He will stumble. But the just man is the fellow that don't stay down. He gets up and goes on. You've got to learn that in the Christian life. You're not going to win everything. You're not going to win every battle. If you're married, you know it starts at home. You ain't going to win every argument. If you're married to my wife, you ain't going to win none of them. I heard an amen over there by the deacon. But that's just the way it is. There's a time you're going to win, you're going to lose. Listen to what it says here. A time to keep and a time to cast away. There's a time to hold on to things and there's a time to let them go. We've hit that twice here tonight. Boy, I just felt something when we hit that. Somebody, something here, it may be a physical thing or an emotional thing or a spirit. God, maybe the Lord's telling somebody here tonight there's something you just need to let go. Just need to get rid of it. Just let it go. I don't know what that is. Verse number 7. A time to rend and a time to sow. Hey, there's a time to tear your clothes. The Jews did when they were showing a sign of a repentance and something they were upset about. The veil of the temple was rent when Jesus died. And there's a time to sow. I think sowing's a great thing. You fellas that's looking for a wife, I know you think Brother Dennis is old-fashioned, you think Brother Dennis is crazy or whatever, but you better find you a young lady that can sow if you can't. Sowing's important. Save you a lot of money if somebody can sow. And I like sowing. My granny Howell used to sew, and I used to sit down at her feet when I was a little kid and watch her sew. People come over to her house, and they would pay her to sew them clothes. And that's what my grand. She didn't work then. She just stayed at home and took care of my grandfather, and she sewed on the side and made money. Used to like to watch her sew. From that, I like to watch sewing programs on TV. Is this going on the internet? I like to watch those shows on the Alabama public TV of women sewing. Now, if you still don't think I'm all man, try me. But you get no funny ideas. There's just something, I don't know what it is, there's just something very comforting to me. Very that I think is very womanly, whatever, to watch a woman sew. If you don't understand that, or if you think I've got mental issues, join the club. Verse number 7, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak. You know what? Sometimes it's time to say something, and sometimes it's just time to shut up. I mean, just don't say anything. Verse number 8, there's a time to love and a time to hate. Boy, didn't know that one's in there, did you? Unless you heard the birds sing it. There is a time to love, and there's some things you ought to hate. We are to hate some things. You need to find out what this Bible says about some things you ought to hate. Everybody says, you ain't supposed to hate nothing. No, because you don't know your Bible. There's some things we're supposed to hate. And we need to learn what they are. Notice what it says. It says there's a time of war and a time of peace. Sometimes you have to fight. Boy, there's a lot of wars in that Bible, ain't there? You ever notice how many wars in the Bible? Bible's full of wars. There's times you have to fight. I'm not saying that we ought to send our military all over the world and get in everybody's business or whatever. But I will tell you this: sometimes we have to engage in things and be wise about it. But engage in things way over there across the sea before they get over here. I am not for fighting. I wish we would never have another war. I wish we would never, nobody else would be killed and no innocent bystander would get blowed up. I really wish that, but we live in a sin-cursed world where people are just, they're not going to get along. They're going to continue to try to conquer and take over. And so we're going to have a strong military. And I'm going to tell you what the key to it is, though, is having God's blessings on your side. I don't care how strong your military is if God's against you. The Bible says if God be for you, who can be against you? Well, that's true. Amen. But if that's true, then the opposite's true. If God be against you, who can be for you? Won't matter who's for you. It won't help you. I'll tell you something else I believe, too. And this may sound a little harsh. We'll go on emphasizing this point here. I hate war. I think you ought to try to stay out of it. I think you ought to avoid it if all possible. However, if you have to go to war, you ought to go to war to win. Amen. And you ought not worry about old buildings and off-limit bombing territories. Listen, pal, if you want my help to help you out, we'll blow up whatever and whoever we want to. You don't send our boys over there and make deals and negotiate and make it a politics thing. You go over there to win. Whatever you've got to do, you win. And if you ain't going to do that, stay at the house and don't go to war. I hate war. I wish we didn't have it. But we're going to have it. The Bible tells you that. What do we just preach on Wednesday night? Wars and rumors of war. So if we're going to fight, we need to fight. I'm just playing around. All right, let's look at the section, verses 9 through 15, or second section here tonight. And he's getting back on work again. He's talked a lot about that. We talked the other Sunday about the fact that Solomon is a man that really worked. He really accomplished a lot of things. He had a lot of things done. He had other people doing a lot of things for him. He was the mastermind behind all of these. He was great. He was not a lazy fella. He got things going. And yet, he looked at it and he said, I hate life. Boy, what a thing to say, to have done all the things Solomon has done and seen all the things Solomon has seen and experienced it and have it. He's the most intelligent man on the earth. He's got more money than anybody on the earth. He's got more women than anybody on the earth. He's got more wine and food. He can do it. He's accomplished. He's built. He's done everything in the world you can think of. And he says, I hate life. That's because no accomplishment on this world is going to fulfill you. Do you realize there's always something else left to do? It'll never be done. Do you know how many people, you know, we say, boy, you need to have a good work ethic, and we do. And we're all for people working hard and going and getting after it. Yes, we are. You ever notice these people, though, especially these men that retire? And they work hard and they work hard and they work as long as they can, and maybe their health won't let them. Maybe they decide to retire after they work like that and achieved and achieved and achieved and achieved. Man, they get so depressed. You know why? There ain't nothing else left to build. There ain't nothing else left to do. They've spent their whole life thinking that their self-worth was in what they did, rather than who they are in Christ. I tell you what, I've seen a bunch of men and women, they spend their whole life focusing on their children rather than the Lord. And when their children leave, they sit there in that house, that man, that woman, don't talk to each other, don't get close to each other, and dry up in depression. I love my son very much. You ought to love your children very much. But I'm going to tell you something. If you focus at all on your children, when they leave, you ain't focused nothing on your marriage, and especially on your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be lonely. You're going to be depressed. You're going to be unfulfilled. Listen, men and women, please listen to me tonight. You have got to get this in your mind. You're going to have to get to the point in your Christian life where there's something in your life that's different than anything else in your life. It's very special. It's the most important thing to you. Nothing else on earth matches it. And it only involves you and Jesus Christ. Your spouse ain't part of it. Your children's not part of it. Your church, your pastor, your grandchildren, nobody's part of it. It's just you and Jesus Christ. And until you get to that point, you're going to keep trying all these things just like Solomon. And you're always going to come to the same end. Vanity. Vexation. I hate life. That's what you're going to come to. Verse number 9. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? Now we cover something similar to that. That's what he said over there in chapter 1, verse number 3. And the thing is, it's because our labor for the world is just temporary. Whatever you get out of your labor on the world, it's just temporary. But whatever you do for the Lord Jesus Christ is eternal. Verse number 10, I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. You know what he said? I've seen the travail. In labor, there's travail. And the agony and the torment, that's what you get under the sun. He said, I've seen what men go through. I've sat back. I've watched the thing. You have too, haven't you? You watch what it's all about. You watch how, boy, you listen, you folks, you know, you're about to kill yourself trying to earn a dime. And by the time you get ahead, something tears up or something blows up or something happens, and it's gone, ain't it? And if you would have just sold out to God and probably gave some of that dime to him to begin with and said, God, I ain't worried about this junk down here anyway. I love you. I'm fulfilled in you. You might have got to keep it a little bit longer. But whether you got to keep it or not, it wouldn't have mattered. You, boy, man, I hope you can get this before the end of this study. It ain't going to happen down here. It ain't going to happen down here. You got to get right with the Lord and have a good relationship. Have your fellowship right with him. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. You know, God made the world beautiful until man messed it up. And the world is definitely set in every man's heart. Matter of fact, he gets so preoccupied with it that the Bible has to warn him and instruct him about not loving it after he gets saved. Several verses in the Bible that warns you of that. And that's the problem. Which is what I was preaching on this morning. We get so preoccupied and so focused on this world, thinking and the cares of this life, we're not even focusing on the fact that Jesus could return at any moment. And we somehow think, I know what you're saying, preacher, and I agree with you, but I tell you what, I just want to try this. I just want to do this. And I just believe if I got this. And the preacher, I just really believe if I could have done this and could have got this and achieved this and went this place and had this and this hadn't happened, that's what would have made me happy. No, it wouldn't. No, it wouldn't. I don't care what you do and what you obtain. If you exclude God from it, brother, it's a zero. And that's what Solomon is trying to tell us. A man who's had it all. And he sits back and says, I'm miserable. This has done nothing for me. I hate life. That's what you're going to get with life under the sun. You're never going to achieve anything. You're never going to achieve anything like what you can and get any of the happiness like what God wants you to have unless you have a right fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that there is no good in them. But for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. You know, I believe Solomon gets to the point here where he concludes that after trying all these great and big things, that it's the simple things in life that bring satisfaction. Just eat and drink and go to work. And listen, you ought to praise God if you can eat, drink, go to work. If you're physically able to go to work and you're able to eat, go home and eat a hamburger tonight, there's a lot of people love to be able to eat a hamburger and they have some kind of sickness. They can't do it. If you can drink a Coca-Cola, I mean, don't drink 10 of them, but if you can drink a Coca-Cola, there's some folks, they can't drink that stuff. They're sick. And they're drinking them old watching things in them. Yeah. And you say, well, why are you talking about something morbid like that, brother? I'll tell you why I'm talking about it. Because I believe we mentioned this briefly last Sunday night. Everybody's looking for the next great big thing, and I'm telling you that you don't have to have the next great big thing. If you've got the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, and your fellowship with Him is the number one priority in your life, then you can have something just as simple as sitting out on your porch in your rocking chair with your Bible, drinking a cup of coffee, and be so thrilled and so happy you can't even stand it. I know that. And you say, what's fun? What's good? I'll tell you what's fun. Man, I don't have to have $1 million. I don't have to have an IQ of 180. I don't have to be well known or whatever. I mean, I tell you what I'm looking forward to. If we live and the Lord don't come back next Sunday night, hear some good singing and praising the Lord and going to eat some homemade ice cream. Man, that's wonderful. God has designed that the very simple things in life can make you happy if you have the right fellowship with Him. And He's designed it that you can have the most complex and colossal things you've ever set your mind or heart on, and you get them. You get them. And hate them. Hate it. Just hate it. Because you're focusing on that rather than your fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it is. Verse number 14. Verse number 13. Also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is a gift of God. It is a gift of God for you to be able to do that. Verse number 14. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. God doeth it that men should fear before Him. Listen, what God does, He does, and you can't change it if you wanted to. And knowing this truth ought to cause you to fear God. That's what He's saying. You know what He's saying? He's saying, look, if God decides to put you in hell, you can't stop it. If God decides to kill you tonight, you can't stop it. If God decides to come down on you for some unconfessed sin in your life tonight, you can't stop it. So you ought to fear them. Serve them. Try to do right. Idiot that don't fear God. I think your number one motivation, if you've been saved any length of time for serving God, ought to be because you love Him. Sometimes, unfortunately, we're just so wicked. That ain't a motivation enough when it should be. But you better fear Him. You better fear Him. You better fear not doing what He's told you to do. Verse number 15. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God required that which is past. You know, everything repeats. Everything repeats. There's nothing new under the sun. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I know in dispensations He does things, but I'm talking about who God is. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what He requires of you, He required of folks 2,000 years ago. By faith, trust His Son. Just put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him and nothing else for your salvation. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. Listen, things are just repeating, things are just recycling. I know we have advancements in technology, and I know we have some new things that we didn't have 2,000 years ago, but I tell you, it's still the same temptations and the same snares to man. It's the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Same thing. Devil deals with the same thing. People talk about boys, wicked, these wicked days. Listen, man, you didn't even get out of the book of Genesis for He's killing people for being a bunch of sodomites. They're raping and killing people and murdering people. I can show you an Old Testament where they're eating people and everything else, brother. It didn't just show up in the last 20 years of wickedness. It might be more announced, and everybody knows it because we have more wicked devices. Used to you had to go sneak a movie to watch something wicked. Now you can get on the internet and watch any kind of perverted mess you want to. But man's heart's always been wicked. And when you realize that, that you just got a sinful nature and address it that way, you can get some victory. But you folks, you say, boy, times sure have changed. Let me tell you something. Some of you folks, that grew up in the 50s and 60s, when you was dating in the 60s, when you was dating in the 60s, I know you didn't see some of the things that some of these teenagers do now, whatever, but you folks in the 60s, you had the same old carnal, lustful flesh that these kids do here now, and some of you did some things probably worse than some of these kids in here has done. And if you had access to some of the things they have now, you ain't no telling what some of you would have done. Amen. All right. Verse number 16 through 22. This is our last section tonight. God judges all. And he's going to say this. He's saying, look, work. It don't do it. Life is full of negative and positives. But I do know this, he's saying. That's not what I believe Solomon's saying. In the end, when your life here on this earth is over, in the end, after you've tried to achieve and get all this happiness, after you've tried to bombard yourself with everything the world has to try to find happiness and live your life and do your own thing, in the end, God's going to get the final say. He's going to be the judge. Verse number 16. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. Now, first of all, he talks about it under the sun on the earth. And under the sun, where you're supposed to have judgment, where you're supposed to have righteousness, you don't have it. You know, under the sun, we have a crooked government sometimes, and crooked courtrooms, and crooked judges, and hypocrites. And that the people and institutions that are supposed to give righteous judgment, sometimes they don't. They show partiality. We know that. But that's a whole different setup than God's courtroom. Amen. No, I don't care how much money you got, you ain't going to be able to hire, you know, high-priced lawyers like O.J. Simpson did to so you can get exonerated for murder. You can't do that. Nobody going to plead your case up there but Jesus Christ. And if he ain't on your side and you ain't got to plead your case, you're crazy. Listen, when I die and I stand before God, what do you think I want to hear people saying? Oh, Brother Dennis, now you preached for 40 years. Or Brother Dennis, you was a good preacher. Brother Dennis, I remember that time you come over and talked to my youngin. Brother Dennis, you buried my mama. Brother Dennis, you helped me out in the back. Brother Dennis, I remember the night you preached, I got saved. Now I don't want to hear nothing about that. I just want you to talk about the blood of Jesus. Just talk about his blood. Talk about that his blood he shed for me on the cross. That's all that's going to matter. All that's going to matter. And verse number 17, I said in my heart, when he sees this, notice what he says. I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. For there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. Solomon's talking to himself again. The righteous and the wicked, he says, are going to be judged. You and I had better live life under the sun in a way that prepares us for the judgment that's one day is going to take place above the sun. And God's going to judge everybody. Everybody's always worried about, well, my neighbor, he don't go to church. He don't care nothing about God. He's got all this money. He's got this and everything. He's got good health. I got bad health. Listen, man, the account ain't been settled yet. You know, the account ain't been settled yet. You need to realize that. Verse number 18, I said in my heart concerning the estate of the sons of men that God might manifest them and that they might see that they themselves are beasts. He recognizes, and you say, man, that sounds like a little Darwinism there. No, he's going to go on when he concludes the thought. You know what Solomon's saying? The wisest man in the world, he's looking out there and he's saying, you know what? As it looks under the sun, that man, me, the king, the greatest man on earth, I'm just like that old dog out there. One day that dog's going to die and they're going to throw it in the dirt. They're going to do the same to me. The man that's had it all is going back to the dirt. Notice there in verse number 18, again, I said in my heart concerning the estate of sons of men that God might manifest them and that they might see that they themselves are beasts, for that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them, as the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they all have one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. Now listen, he's looking at it under the sun, and he's not considering it in a spiritual aspect. We know we're much better than a dog, and we have hope of the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you die, don't end there with a grave. But he's looking at life under the sun. And I believe the way we could apply it to us is that if you've invested in everything on this earth, even your eternal soul, and getting things on this earth, and the earth satisfying you, and the earth making you happy, one day there's going to come a time in your life when you and a nasty old dirty dog are going to have one thing in common. They're going to bury both of you. I don't know if there's anybody in here that ain't never had to bury a dog. Just carry him out there in the backyard or out in the woods somewhere and dig a hole with a shovel and throw them in that hole and pour the dirt over them and leave like there ain't nothing to it. While Solomon is saying, you may think you're something, you may have everything, nobody's got what I've got and what I've experienced, and I'm telling you there's coming a day when they're going to put me in the ground just like that old beast. Every one of us. And in that day when they put you in the ground just like that old beast, and all you've got to claim is, well, you know what? I made a lot of money when I was on the earth. I made a lot of discoveries. I was a big man in my company. Boy, I did this. I did that. And everybody knew me. I was a legend, you know. You're a legend in your own mind, huh? Ain't gonna matter. Ain't gonna matter. All going to one place. The one place, verse number 20, is dead and into the ground and return to dust. All are of the dust and all turn to dust again. We're all going to return back to the ground. We came from the ground. We're going back to the ground. That's why God's going to destroy this world one day. The world, the earth is cursed. It ain't just us. The earth is cursed. It's bad ground. We got bad blood and we got bad flesh from a bad ground. And that's why we're going to get a new body and we need to get some new blood. The blood of Jesus Christ to cover us. Take away our sins. In verse number 21, who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? He does know this, that the beast goes down and the man goes up somewhere. But you have to remember now, all this, the theme of this whole book as we continue is life under the sun. Solomon's just talking about life under the sun, how he's looking at it as a man that's living on the earth looking like that. And then you get to verse number 22. What's his conclusion to all this? Wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better then a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion. For what shall bring him to see what shall be after him? You know what he said? He said, you don't know what's coming after you. When you're dead, you won't know or have any control what goes on the earth. You won't know. You won't be able to control what people do, what you've accumulated. You won't be able to come back from the dead and tell them, don't do that, do this, don't do that, do this. You won't have anything to do with it. Just enjoy the simple things of life if you can. And work on your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where you're going to get your happiness. And that's it. What shall bring him to see what shall be after him? Now here's the thing tonight. We're getting ready to close. Life is full of positives and negatives, right? We're all are going or living, and we're all going to die. Now, all of us in here have one life, some of it longer or shorter than others, but we all in here have one life under the sun, our physical life down here on the earth. We have one life, and we can live it to try to get some kind of satisfaction down here, or we can live it to have a better eternal inheritance. It's your choice tonight. I will tell you this, if you live it for down here, you're going to be disappointed. Because you're not going to ever find what you're looking for down here, and it's going to rob you up there. That up there will satisfy you. Listen, you get in touch with that up there tonight, and that up there will satisfy you down here in the worst of circumstances and make eternity up there that much better. Every head bowed and eye closed. That's the lesson tonight.